Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless this nation. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to have your way in this nation. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that this could be an outpouring in this nation in 2021 that's going to be greater than what was outpoured in the book of Acts. I believe it's not going to be just this nation, but this will be one of the nations where there will be an outpouring of your Spirit, where people are seeking your face. So, Lord, here at Beauty for Ashes, we're seeking your face. We want you to reveal yourself and to reveal your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I was prophesying earlier when I was doing radio and kind of prophesying. And when we hit the whole thing about next year and the direction we're going, the Lord really put on my heart that we had better be prepared to do deliverance. God's not going to outpour his Spirit and then do away with everything else that his fivefold ministry, right? There's apostles, there's prophets, there's teachers, there's evangelists, and there's pastors, right? So all of those are going to be needed, right? All of those are going to be vital in what God is going to do as his maturing the church. Remember, the Bible says that all of those are for the equipping of the saints until we all come to the full measure. Won't that be amazing to be to the full measure of Christ? Do y'all get that? God's saying he wants every single person born again of his Spirit to move in the same fullness that Jesus Christ moved in. How many got a ways to go? How many at least want to have vision that that's what his plan is? How many believe it can happen? So God is going to do this outpouring. I believe this. I believe everything we're watching in the heavenlies right now, everything with the elections, everything with everything, is to shake everything up to get a church unified, to be ready. So the Lord put on my heart when we were doing the radio today, we have to do it almost a month in advance, which is really hard to do radio for the week of the elections because I do them like they're live. Has anybody ever thought I'm live when we do that? They're not. They're like, they just made us now have to record them almost a month ahead. So I'm like, how can we talk about the elections? Like, you know, so prophesy, I'm believing there's going to be an outpouring of God's Spirit on election day, and God's going to begin a work in this nation like we've never seen before. But what he put on my heart to know that I know, with this outpouring, he's going to be requiring that the church be ready to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free. That's what we're starting to really learn and jump into on Tuesday nights. We've been doing healing the brokenhearted for years. Amen. I honestly can say I don't think anybody has as much teaching as I have on healing the brokenhearted anywhere. So if you need any of that teaching, join the mentorship, join the partnership, or just get a CD or go online. You can find a ton of it on YouTube and a ton of it on the web, right? So we're now going to enter into learning, seriously learning, led by the Spirit, how to set the captives free. Now, if you look at Luke 4:14, Jesus said he came to preach the gospel to the poor. That's not poor financially. Everyone's poor who's not in the kingdom of God. Amen? I want everybody to get this. And Kevin Z-A-D-A-I Zadai, his books are really good. He's got one called How to Receive, to understand that we're in a kingdom where everything we need has already been provided. We just have to get free from what the enemy's done in our lives and generational curses, everything else. We have to get free to open our hearts and get that. And it doesn't mean I'm going to have a ton of money. It means I'm going to have everything I need to have a life that glorifies him, but to do everything he wants me to do. And so we got to really understand he's already got the money. And I'm living proof of that, because everything we've ever needed, he's just given us. You know, I mean, this building's paid off. This is a debt-free ministry. If it will, and I like this building. I'm not trying to have a bigger building. I don't want a bigger building. If he gives me a bigger building, you all will know he gave it to me. He paid for it. And it's because this building we outgrew. And this we won't outgrow until we have it at least full 5 nights a week. Amen. And then if he wants to, we'll put a big, gigantic community center, church kind of thing here with a thrift store and go buy a building somewhere else. Because that's how big he is. Amen. He's bigger than that. But he's just testing the hearts. Who can handle what he's going to pour out? So deliverance, when we were doing the radio show today, it really came to me. When he does this outpouring, there's going to be a lot of brand new Christians. Which means what? It means Holy Spirit, Spirit's going to go in them. The Holy Spirit is going to live in a lot of people who won't even know what that is. Amen? And then we got to help them to get deliverance. We've got to help them to get healed. We've got to move into all those gifts and all the things we saw Jesus do. And how many know if this outpouring is as big as everyone's prophesying and as big as I believe, every single believer is going to be as busy doing ministry of reconciliation that they could possibly handle. How many think that'd be exciting? Yeah. When you start to enter into this for real, you'll get so excited about what God's doing that everything else will seem like nothing. You will get bored with even a fancy normal life. Amen? And so God's just getting us prepared. So we're here on Tuesday nights. They'll be watching this. First part's going to be on Facebook Live, BD for Ashes. And then we're going to switch to the mentorship page for the second part, because we're going to train up people internationally. I don't know how we'll learn how to do Zoom and let them have their own groups or something while we're doing this. And so when I was praying about... I was actually watching this thing all day because I'm praying. Oh, it's been pretty interesting, a lot better than the last one. So I'm just really asking the Lord, and he talks to me, you know, even while you're doing that. So I thought we were going to do maybe how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. I've got a powerful teaching on Leviathan that I'll probably do on Friday before we do intercession. The stuff he showed me with Leviathan is really powerful. The stuff he showed me with Absalom is really powerful. And all these things have to do with the elections. So he really, after we started that, when was that, Sunday? Then the Lord started giving me downloads, like, where's the Absalom spirit? The deep state is an Absalom spirit. It's a spirit that wants to come in, act like it cares about you, and uses the idea of you don't get justice to bring you in to... a takeover of the government. And so, man, you look at it, you're like, wow. And Lord began to tell me all the deep state, whoever, that's Republicans and Democrats. It's people who have an agenda to overthrow the Constitution and the government the way it's set up. And they do it with that spirit to make people feel like otherwise there'll be no justice and things will never be fair for them. But they really have their own motive of bitterness, of hurt. And that's where the Leviathan comes in. When you start looking at the Leviathan spirit, that spirit of bitterness in the book of Job comes in when Job is so beat up by the church friends, all judging him, all having the wrong hearts as to why he's going through his problems, why Satan is trying to destroy him. I mean, Job went through it. So finally, Job finally got to a place when he had pain all over his body. Has anybody ever had some kind of sickness that lasted a while? Or let's say even a migraine. But isn't it hard to enter into the presence of God then? Isn't it hard to really get into the Word? Because that pain just really tries to just keep you from doing anything. And so we got to realize Job was in that kind of pain. And when people start getting into that kind of pain, if you look at Job's story, and we're going to do this more, but get you guys ready. What happens is when Job wished that he were dead. When Job began to say he wished that he was dead, then he said, I pray, which means he's talking to the enemy, because you don't ask God to do this. I pray. He's confusing who God is from who Satan is. And he says, I pray that those who know how to curse will curse me. He basically opens the door to curse that he was ever born. What would that be? Extreme suicide, extreme self-hate, extreme misunderstanding of who God is, right? And that's when he talks about the Leviathan. So I'm like, okay, so the enemy can only use the Leviathan spirit on people who have bought a lie, or the enemy has hurt them so much that they cannot trust God. They do not trust God. Therefore, they're not going to trust any government set up by God. Right? And in that place of despair and hurt and anger, to a place of wishing they were never born, the enemy can get in with the Leviathan spirit and start twisting everything and attacking everything. So anyway, we're getting to that more. But we need to see these things, because God's just given so much revelation right now. It's very exciting to me. But for tonight, so I thought, well, are we going to teach that, Lord? He goes, no. Tonight we're going to look at the Gospels, and we're actually going to see Jesus in action doing deliverance, right? It's great. Bill was awesome what he shared from Righteous Acts Ministries. He's part of he oversees, basically. He's like the president now of the International Society of Deliverance Ministers that was set up by Pete Wagner, which we are a part of. Beauty for Ashes is a part of that ministry. And it's kind of cool for me to listen to the whole conference he did, because I've never talked to him about it, and I really don't make it to that many meetings. I've been to maybe four of them in 15 years or something. But to see how many things we have in common. Yeah, that was really cool to me. But so if we're going to take this to really train, how many know when I train people up, we train them up, right? Like, it's line upon line. We're going to look at everything about deliverance we can find, just like we have about healing the brokenhearted. So first place to look to me is Jesus, right? So let's go. My other iPad has finally had no memory left to do these things anymore. Okay, so to do this, I like to teach you how to study to be approved, okay? So if you want to find out how Jesus did deliverance, what word would you put in your word search to do that? No, they don't use that. I tried it. That word, they don't. He never uses the word deliverance. What is it called when Jesus is doing what we call deliverance? Cast out. So a word, cast out, and come out. Remember, whenever Jesus does it, he says, come out of them. And when they're talking about us doing, it's like cast out. So let's look at, so you can put either one. So let's look at cast out first, only because I want to show you we're supposed to do this. Because so many people think, and so you go, if you have any kind of phone or iPad that will do this, get eSword, okay? It's in the App Store. It's free. It's amazing. And I know some people like the old-fashioned Bibles, but I'm going to tell you what, when I have a strong concordance, five Bibles in one, and I can do this and teach you and carry one little iPad, actually carry two with me to be able to do all that. And instead of carrying 20 books when I go somewhere, it's amazing. So you put cast out, so you get eSword. And if you don't have that, somebody will help you download it if you want to before you leave tonight. It's free. It's under the App Store. But now you can get it almost anywhere now. And then it gives you some free Bibles, and then it gives you some Bibles you have to purchase. It's worth purchasing the Amplified. I think it's $19, because the Amplified will stretch things out to help you get different definitions that you're going to look up. So whenever I study to be approved, amen, whenever I spend time with God, I study the Word. I love studying the Word, okay? I love it. I want to see what he actually says more than I care about what anybody writes about what he says. Amen? But you know, I recommend books, and we got an entire lending library which we're going to clean up and make available to you guys. But I want to know, what does Jesus say about this? Because the foundation of deliverance has got to be based on, what did Jesus say about it? Okay? If you don't get into a spirit of error, if you don't want to run off in some weird stuff, always, 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 always. How many times? Always. Build what you're building on what Jesus Christ himself says. Okay? And then you interpret everything else from that. So that's the foundation. He's the cornerstone. And cornerstone nowadays would be called the foundation. The way they used to build was different back then. They put a stone and everything would line up with that stone. Now they lay a foundation, okay? And it's got to be just right and flat and smooth and everything's got to. So Jesus is that foundation. Back then they called it the cornerstone, okay? So think about that. If I'm going to build an understanding on deliverance and deliverance ministry, I want it to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. What did he do? What did he say? And what did he tell us about it? So we're going to look at some of that tonight. So when I go on eSword, just because if you have an old-fashioned concordance, you can do it, but it takes a lot longer. But I carried one around for years, okay? So then you look up cast out. Then you put it in New Testament. Why? Because I want to hear what Jesus said. So I already know I'm going to look more at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Because they're the Gospels. That's where the red writing is, okay? All right. Plus, he shows up a little in the book of Acts and stuff. All right. So then I go there. Now, if you put the word cast out, put it as a phrase. And then when you hit that, it's going to bring up 28 verses. All right. First one has nothing to do with it. All right. Matthew 7:22 is a little bit of to keep us grounded in this. This is Jesus talking. And he says, he goes up. Let's go to Matthew 7:1. Do not judge that you may not be judged. Okay, spiritual law, do not judge. So if we're going to do deliverance ministry, we cannot be people's judge. Okay? What's a judgment? Oh, I'd never do that. Can you believe they did that? Nobody would ever do that, you know. So you got to get that out of your heart. Satan's evil. He twists things. He hurts people. People come from different backgrounds, different thinking. It's not about us judging a person. We should just be so thankful if we're not walking through what somebody else has walked through. Amen? We just should have so much compassion. If we've walked through anything, our heart should be that nobody else has to walk through this. Amen? So he says, don't judge. And remember this spiritual law. Because if you're going to do deliverance ministry, you're going to hear a lot of mess. Amen? Especially, you know, we got the questionnaires that Bill sent me copies of. And you're going to see a lot of mess. So for your divine protection, you've got to get a heart not to judge. So that means you're not going to see what somebody said happened to them and go, can you believe they did that? Can you believe? And I'll tell you, God has put a spiritual law on this, which means if you judge when he tells you not to, whatever judgment you make, it's going to come back and you're going to be judged that. Whatever measure you use in your judgment, that's the way it's going to come back at you. All right, everybody get that a minute. Because everybody wants to be in ministry. And we're all supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. We got to get really serious about I'm not judging. And one reason gossip is so bad, because gossip is people starting to talk and begin to set forth judgments. So everybody get this, okay? So a judgment is anything that says like, I'd never do that. Can you believe they did that? Can you believe their mother did that? Can you believe they went through that? All those things are judgments. Bible says that your yes be yes, your no be no. Now, what happens when I judge according to scripture, which is based on God's spiritual kingdom and his laws, right? I actually give Satan permission to bring that same kind of situation either to me or someone in my family line. So let's do what we do here best. Let's all repent of anything we've ever judged and ask God to get that out of our hearts. Amen? Let's just start right there. Say, Heavenly Father, we ask you to forgive us for making judgments. We break the power of those judgments and we ask for mercy. Please forgive us and cancel every assignment that's been set in motion because of our judgments. Protect our families. Protect us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Give us a fresh start. Amen. Now, if you find yourself facing a judgment, like, so one of the first things you do when the enemy's attacking you is say, did I judge this? Did I ever judge somebody like, I would never do that, or I could never go through this? Do you get what I'm saying? All these thinking is judgments. And when we do deliverance ministry, you're going to see a lot of stuff that the devil's going to want you to judge. Right? Another really good thing about not judging is we don't have to have shame about stuff. In other words, I'm not big on that confidentiality thing. Okay, I'm very big on only saying what God has me to say and sharing what he has me to share. But the Bible tells me not to make a vow to anyone, doesn't it? The Bible says make no vow to any man. So I don't want to promise you that I'll never say anything. What I want to promise you is that by God's grace, I will only use anything anybody tells me for God's purposes. Amen? And I'll repent quickly if I don't. And let me say this. If I'm going to share something and God has brought me to a place to share it, I'm not going to be the protector of what I share. Amen? I'm going to give it to God. And God has set up spiritual laws, such as the ones we just talked about, that says, look, it's kind of like the Lord saying, don't worry. If this person is led by the enemy to judge you in this and tries to hurt you with this, it's just going to come at them. And I've known personally where people have shared things that with the wrong heart, maybe to my children or something, to try to get me. And it just totally went to the wayside. It's like my kids never remember, even said a word about it or thought about it. Okay, do you understand? God's going to be the one to protect you. Otherwise, what happens is if I come in a soul tie with you, and I'm the only one who knows this, then the enemy has just made a situation where he can really cause havoc. Amen? You don't want to be a person who tells everybody everything. You want to get your tongue tamed. Amen? But who knows, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You also need to recognize that God does not equate people's identity with their sin. And he has no trouble. How many know when we get to heaven and we meet Paul, and we meet David, and we meet Samson, and we meet all the other people, Adam and Eve, how many know that we're still going to know what they did that was written in the Bible? Right? They're not sitting there trying to cover that up, because they know God is using their shortcomings to train and teach us for his glory. And there's no shame in Christ. Amen? There's no shame in Christ. If I can't tell somebody something because you think I'll be ashamed, then I'm still in bondage. And I just got to trust. God is in charge of taking care of this. I want to tell you something. You better know now God is the one who has to take care of your reputation, period. But if you're in ministry, he really is the one who has to take care of your reputation. Amen? I just got to give it to him. Lord, I'm doing what you want me to do. So, I'm trusting you to take care of me. Our part is if we mess up, we repent and we mean it. Amen? And we go to God and say, why is that going on in my heart? So I don't want soul ties. I don't want somebody to make an agreement with someone else that they're not going to say anything. I want people to make an agreement with God. Lord, please work in my heart so that I don't hurt people with what you're giving, with what they're telling me. Amen? Actually, Scripture is very clear. When Jesus sent them out, he sent them out in twos. Scripture is very clear that you actually cannot share something that an elder did, that somebody who's mature and ministering to others, unless there's a witness. Why is God doing that? He's actually protecting the people you're ministering to. That's why If you come into this office and you want some ministry help, we always have somebody else sitting in there. The one time I didn't do that. Oh, the devil took advantage. Somebody came in and I had no idea. We just had a great, wonderful celebration the day before. And I didn't think there was any issues anywhere. And this person comes in. I think we're just going to have a nice little talk about how fun the day before was. And they drop a bombshell on me about somebody who's a good friend of mine and how they wish that they hadn't gotten involved with this person. Boom. And it was a bad one. I'm thinking, where is somebody? I don't have anybody here to be able to say anything about this. I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting just, oh, that was fun yesterday or whatever. You see what I'm saying? So God has all of his spiritual laws in Scripture that he demonstrated on the earth, amen, for divine protection, right? And he operates only in his laws. So you got to decide, am I going to do this God's way? Or am I going to do this man's way? Do I want God to take care of my reputation? Or do I want people in secrecy taking care of my reputation? I pick God. I just pick God. He's amazing what he can make people forget. He's amazing. I also pick not to be ashamed. I pick not to be ashamed. And I choose to ask God to mature me so that I wouldn't shame other people and get things out of my heart that would shame other people. Amen? You just got to be sensitive. Lord, this isn't right that I'm talking about this. Lord, this isn't right how this person's talking about this. And then in love, you get the conversation back where God can bless it. Amen? So, all right. Why do you look at the twig that's in the eye of your brother, but you do not see the log in your eye? How will you say to your brother, allow me to cast out the twig from your eye, but there's a log in your eye? Okay, this is very powerful for any kind of ministry, but deliverance ministry. This is Jesus. He says, you hypocrite. First, you have to cast the log out of your eye so that you will see clearly to cast the log out of the eye, the twig of the eye in your brother. What's he saying? What he's saying here is, look, I want your heart right, and I do not want the issue that's in the other person's life to be an issue in your life. I want you to get it out of your heart first, and then you can minister in mercy, you can minister in compassion, you can minister with a revelation of how humbling that is, how broken that can make you, amen? And then you can go and help this other person get free. Am I reading it? In a minute, you're going to see he's talking about casting out demons. So that's why Tuesday nights that we've done all these years is so important, because we got this out of our heart and this out of our heart and this out of our heart. So I encourage you to get in the mentorship or get a hold of the teaching from the partnership or get online where it's free and still listen to the teaching of getting things out of your heart. Amen? And before you go to minister to anybody, if it stirs up something in you, say, I can't do this yet. I got to go deal with this. And that's good for parenting. That's good for communication with your spouse. That's good for anything. Get the junk out of your heart, led by the Holy Spirit, before you try to get out someone else. If you feel that you can get so sensitive with discernment that you literally feel when there's something in you that's upset. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have matured to a place where that happens? Well, I just call it a critter. You know, it's like, okay, I'll give an example that just happened. A few of us went on a little mini retreat to Florida. It was very nice. And someone said in a conversation that God was letting things get stirred up. How many know hanging out with other Christians who know how to do deliverance and know how this all works is so needed in the church, because God uses iron to sharpen iron. And God will show you stuff in you when you're talking to somebody else. And if you get sensitive, you'll make it easy to do self-deliverance. Okay? So, for example, this person, and they're probably watching, so they're going to be laughing. This person said a phrase to me that triggered something in me. And they said, I don't like when you use that tone of voice. Why do you use that tone of voice? And my thinking is, who are you to tell me what kind of voice I can use? And the truth is, they have no business telling me what kind of voice I can use. That's something in them to deal with. Right? If you don't have grace to handle the tone of voice, go find out why you don't have grace to handle the tone of voice. But what it triggered in me was like this real wild little thing. And it made me want to get so angry. And what hit me was, that's exactly what someone, one of my parents, used to say when they were blaming me for something that they handled wrong. Don't use that tone of voice with me. And what it would do is it would close me down and basically say, you don't get a say here. You don't get to talk. You don't get to say what you want to say. You just have to take it. You just have to take it. You have to submit to this person's being a parent or being an authority or being an employer, whatever. You see what I'm saying? It was a spirit to close me down. And when the enemy used to try to close me down, it did the opposite. I started shouting it from the rooftops. I tell everybody, who do you think you are? Blah, blah. But when I was real young, I couldn't. And all of a sudden, I felt all of that inside of me. People, everything about deliverance isn't a gigantic big demon. Sometimes it is. But if we would get rid of, dislodge these smaller spirits, amen? In the name of Jesus. How? Recognize it. Agree that it's not you. Agree that it's an intruder. And agree that you have authority to cast it out in Jesus' name. When we mature, we won't start believing we are who the devil says we are. Now remember, the devil is going to tell you who you are through authority people in your life. Even people not being there tells you you're not worth anything, according to the devil, right? So we got to totally get our identities in Christ, and we've got to totally, totally get rid of these lies. These are strongholds that can lead to a strong man. But I learned. So instead of having a loud vocal discussion with this person, I could feel, I can't talk normal right now. Like I'm going to yell or something, but I could feel it. How many want, you ask Holy Spirit for discernment. Discernment isn't that I'm just going to see what's in everybody else. Discernment starts with seeing what's in you. That's what the scripture was, right? The spiritual law God is saying is, look, you're a hypocrite if you don't do self-deliverance before you start doing deliverance on everybody else. Whoa. So there's a ton of hypocrisy in the church. And when you do self-deliverance, it's a little humbling. Sometimes God will have you share it with somebody. And sometimes he won't be. He says, the reason he says confess your sins one to another, and he's faithful and just to forgive those sins, is to break the power of shame. Yeah, pride. The pride, but shame. I'm ashamed to tell anybody that, so I'm going to keep it in. Just me and God are going to work this out. Lord, no. If you are ashamed to say anything, it doesn't have to be to everybody, but at least to somebody, then he's gonna control you with that shame. He's gonna try to make that come back in your life. And Holy Spirit will show you when you have to confess your sin and he's just to forgive all sin. But God wants us to be so free from shame that we can glorify him with our testimonies, that we can relate to other people and what they're going through. Amen? He goes on, he says, okay, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor throw your pearls before the pigs, that they should trample them with their feet, turning and charge you. So if we're talking about deliverance, our Lord's saying, when you do deliverance, don't try to share this with people who don't believe in deliverance. You know, don't sit there and get in an argument about, can Christians have demons? I'm going to tell you something. I know they can. I'd have cast them out of enough Christians. You actually don't cast demons out of unbelievers, or they're going to be worse. So when he says they cast out demons, he's talking about in Christians. I mean, what's he going to do? Go cast out this demon so it'll come back seven times worse and destroy that person? So this isn't like something to fight about. You're like, well, will it take you to hell? Well, if you keep giving in more to the demon than to the Holy Spirit, eventually you probably will walk away from your salvation and get back into blatant sin. And the Bible says anyone who continues to practice sin, there's nothing left to save them. Amen? This is a real kingdom with the real laws, with the real God, with the real God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with real demonic things trying to tempt you, and it's for real. So get rid of the lie that this isn't a real kingdom with real laws, with real God to follow, with real Holy Spirit to lead us, and it's serious. There's nothing more serious in the entire world than being in the kingdom of God. And I'm kind of tired of it just being taught like a little itsy bitsy thing, and let's really be like the world and think like the world and be part of the culture of the world and be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am in a different kingdom than the people in the United States of America. I'm an ambassador in the United States of America and wherever else God sends me. Amen. But my kingdom isn't here, and my king isn't here. And the one who orders my steps is not here. God can make it so people let you do what God wants you to do when it seems impossible. I'm telling you, you guys can say that you want. The reason that a state that we live in that's under captivity let us have church meetings by May 15th this year was because we had a conference scheduled for then. Everybody was shocked. We were like, how are we going to have this? Nobody's going to be back in buildings yet. Not more than the few people. But the day of our pre-planned conference was the day. The day before that, they said, oh, starting tomorrow, you can have 50% back in or whatever it was. I was like, well, that's good. Our building's big and we don't have that big of a church. Amen? It's like, has anybody noticed we have been unaffected by this thing? Amen. That's not because we're faking it. It's because we're in a different kingdom and we know it. And we really have authority to rule and reign in that kingdom. How? We have that authority if we get our hearts right with God, which we've been doing for over 20 some years, just for a time like this. Amen? So this stuff is serious. These are serious spiritual laws in the kingdom. So he says, other people aren't going to understand this. So only people who really want to be in the kingdom and trust God's word and want to live for God. And let me tell you this. If you haven't heard this yet, go listen to the teaching. I know it's on the Facebook page. It's a video called Identity in Christ. Identity in Christ. If my identity is in Christ, I have no other identity. It doesn't mean that there's not the reality that I am right now in a female body. But in the spirit, there's no male or female. Amen? There's no question right now that I am in a European ancestor, generational, Caucasian human body. But that's not my identity. Amen? My identity is not my education, my IQ, or even my position in ministry. My identity is in Christ Jesus. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And that's when you're in the kingdom. Amen. That's when you have authority and power. Satan's going to do everything he can through everything he's put in you, through everything you need to get free from, to keep your identity in a place where you are his slave, his victim, or working for him. But you think you're using, in other words, he has you thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. So that he's setting you up to destroy you. Amen. So the whole idea of deliverance is not just get a demon out. The whole idea of deliverance is to get free from everything Satan has placed in us, whether it's through generational curses or all the other things Bill talked about, right? We want to get free from all of it. Amen. It is a lifestyle. And with it, he first comes to heal the brokenhearted places, which actually means healing those hurt places in our lives comes before deliverance. Why? Why would God want me to first talk to someone about where they were wounded in their past before I cast a demon out that I can see? Let's say there's a demon of rage and anger. Okay? And you know what it is. Why? Because it goes bonkers and it throws furniture and it curses and it cusses, and you know, oh, this is a spirit of rage or violence, right? Now, if I just go after that spirit, number one, it's going to be a lot harder to get it out. It's going to make a lot more mess to get it out. Why? Because that person still believes its lies. That person is still wounded to think that's the right way to respond. Or that person is still under the judgment of judging their father for doing that or their mother for doing that, right? In other words, that person has broken spiritual laws that allows the enemy to operate in that way in them. There's what I'm saying. That's why you shall know the truth, and then the truth shall make you free. So real deliverance has to do with the truth. It has to do with repentance. And then it has to do with supernaturally letting Holy Spirit come in and heal the broken places, right? Healing the brokenhearted. And when we get to that place, and so when we're doing these deliverance teams, you want to be those people, and you can just keep us on the same thing for tonight, okay? You want to be those people who you want to make people whole. Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? So that's one thing to ask people. Do you want to be made whole, or are you just here because you want to have an okay relationship with somebody and you got to quit screaming for that to happen? And people can minister that. I prefer to be a minister to make people whole. To really make people who they are in Christ Jesus to glorify the Father. Amen? To give them a brand new full life as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not just have deliverance meeting after deliverance meeting and somebody gets free and somebody gets free. I want people to be made whole. And some people don't want to be made whole. You can study the scriptures. Jesus asked them, do you want to be whole? Some people actually like being on unemployment. They don't want to be whole. If you don't believe me, you should have been in NAGS this year with the beach house. Down there, they could not find people to clean houses because the unemployment was so much money. So there were lots of jobs and nobody to work them because they didn't want to be whole. See, Satan's going to put those temptations before us. Do you really want this? Do you really want that? What do you really want? So one of the questions and one of the things when I do deliverance and I teach the whole picture is, ask yourself, do you want to be made whole? That probably ought to go on the questionnaire. It's probably not on there. Do you want to be whole, or do you just want to get out of this mess right now? Do you want to be whole, or do you just want your kids to talk to you again? And then you got to get honest about it. Do you want to really be healed? Do you want to be whole? See, to be whole is different than being healed. To be healed is a one-time thing where you get a healing. Same with deliverance. It's the one-time things where you get deliverance. To be whole is to be completely free and walking in who you are in Christ. How many want to be whole? I just want to be whole. You can lay everything down and do it his way and get into the kingdom. All right. So he gives us again Matthew 7:7. This is also spiritual law for you as ministers of reconciliation, which we're all called to be, people who want to help, want to set people free, and people who want to see yourself set free, and people in your families. You have to look at God's way of doing things. So he has another law right here. Ask and it'll be given to you. So when you're ministering to someone, get them to ask. Get them to participate in their own deliverance. Amen? I'm thinking of people who've gotten deliverance. I would talk to people before God really went out to do the deliverance, and I would say, "Do you?" I remember having this exact conversation, maybe not the exact wording. It's like, "Do you want me to help you? Do you want to live for God? Do you want to be set free?" And they had to really ask. Yes, would you help me? Would you? And then you get them to ask Jesus to help them. Amen? So the Lord does things based on our asking in faith. God does not move by need. If God moved by need, how many know the world would look a lot different? Amen? If God moved by need, then everybody who needed a healing would get healed. And everybody who needed deliverance would get deliverance. And everybody who needed finances would get finances. God, get a hold of that. In the kingdom of God, he does not move by your need. He moves by your faith. Your faith moves him. What's faith? Trusting that he is who he says that he is. I believe his word over everything else. I believe. And how many, this is a real fight when you're fighting. You have to seriously believe that he is not a man, that he could lie, that he is who he says he is. And you have to fight every thought that goes against that truth. You cannot let your brain jump over into the what if. I mean, no, the unbelief and doubt, that's the what if. What if this doesn't work? What? How about this? How about not worry about if it doesn't work? How about if it gets to that place and you lose that battle? Well, we'll find out what to do when we get there. How about if we not get there? How about if we decide to fight the fight right in front of us and not be setting up to lose? How many know if you go into a fight planning on losing, you're probably not going to win. It's a good fight. I don't know too many Christians act like it's a good fight. Because why would God say it's a good fight? He can't lie. It's a good fight because it's rigged. It's rigged in your favor. God set this up so you will beat up the devil. He set this up not for you to get all beat up. He set this up so in him you would put the devil under your feet. Not just Jesus putting the devil under his feet, but all the human beings who choose to be born again and live in the kingdom and walk in the freedom of Christ. Every single one of them would be overcomers, not victims. You got to choose your identity. I am in Christ. Holy Spirit lives in me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. You got to believe that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. My son's going to live and not die and glorify God. When my son was sick, it took a while to bust through all the warfare and believe and learn, and he has to teach my hands to war. Amen? Amen? You've got to go into these battles knowing you're going to win because it's rigged in your favor. Just don't grow weary. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't get focused on your problem. Get focused on Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. Be built up in Jesus. Enjoy Jesus. Sometimes you actually have to take a break from the battle. Just go on a retreat or something. Don't think about it. But don't do stupid stuff. Don't like just sit there and watch TV and talk on Facebook. If you go get the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not the joy of shopping. Or watching football. Or going to a movie or all the other things that aren't going to give you strength. Amen? You need to recognize when you're getting weary, and you need to take it seriously, because he says you will win if you don't get weary. Well, if I was a devil and I wanted to win, I'm going to make you weary. Right? Satan knows the word people. He even used it at Jesus when he's trying to fake him out, you know? Here Jesus is the word of God, and here's the devil putting the word in his face. When believers don't even do that, we should do that. Put the word of God in his face. He likes that. You said. You shouldn't even have a prayer meeting with God without telling him what he said. You ought to be so thankful for your Bible. You better get it in your heart. Satan wants to get this Bible out of your hands. That's why he says, meditate on it day and night. Know what it says. Know how to fight when you need to fight, because you have his word. He and his word are one. That's how powerful his word is. He says, this word, when you speak my word with my spirit, it's the exact same as Jesus Christ being right there doing it. Wow. Get that. The only reason you're struggling and stumbling in trials is because you really don't believe. So just ask him to help your unbelief. Amen? We always win if we don't grow weary. And as long, even when it looks like we lose, if we're born again, we just go to heaven. I mean, because you're going to be here till then, right? Like, you're going to be in that battle, right? You're going to be in that battle until, if you're born again, until you're in heaven, right? You're going to be in a battle or battling until you get to heaven, right? So the worst thing in the world is you're going to open your eyes and see Jesus face to face, and all the pain, everything will be gone. You're in heaven. Dang, that's the worst Satan can do to you if you're born again and you're walking it. Okay, so why are you afraid? So enjoy fighting. Enjoy fighting. It's a good fight. Amen. Jesus likes a good fight. You guys like whatever you like, wrestling or that crazy stuff on TV. Jesus is like, hey, let's see what's happening in heaven and earth. I like a good fight. Ooh, look at her. She knows how to fight. Ooh, look at him. He ain't fighting. He's a devil beat the tar out of him. Look at the stupid thing he's doing. Oh, this is not a good fight. Come on, I'm not into sports at all. But I've heard some people, even in this room when we've watched Super Bowl and stuff, but in my family, and then they're up there, they're yelling like they could play better. And come on, carry the ball. You can do, you're not, what's wrong with you? Well, Jesus is watching the good fight. And sometimes he probably wants to change the channel, because you don't know that this is a good fight. Amen? So when I'm doing deliverance, and it begins with self-deliverance, amen? I got to go in with the knowing this is a good fight. This fight is rigged against the enemy. This fight is rigged against the enemy. Teach me your ways, God. Let me get closer to you, God. Oh, this is going to be so cool. Show me the things you have to show me, because I want to be like you. Amen? So when we're doing deliverance, he's a God that wants us to ask. So when you're helping people, so don't ask people if you can do deliverance on them. They need to ask you. They need to at least ask Jesus and then show up and say, well, the Lord sent me here. I asked him where I could get help. Amen? So if somebody doesn't want help, even Jesus was like, hey, do you want to be whole? They're like, oh, well, that's a good question. He was like ready to walk on. He didn't heal everybody. How about the guy who starts screaming across the street? Everybody tell him, shut up. Jesus, son of David! Shh, shh, shh. You got to bother him. We're trying to hear. Jesus, son of David! It's like, what? Heal me. Okay. Some of you need to get a little bolder about asking. It's amazing how you'll mimic what the devil's doing, but you won't ask the King of Kings to show you how to get the victory. I want to know how to fight this God. How come? I can't believe we're using all these sports things. This has got to be God, just so you know. Because I don't watch sports, I'm telling you. But I'm getting this picture. You know when they go out punching and boxing? Not that I like this stuff. I go clobber all over them. I just can't even get it. But they're all beat up looking. Anyway, but what happens? They go back in their corner, right? And then their coach or whatever they call them, their trainer starts talking to them. Go do it this way. You could get a, you know, do a right, whatever that is. I don't know, whatever. Right? And then they go back out there and they do it, right? Well, Jesus is that coach. He's so cool because he's not only the coach. He's the advocate in this. He's also the power. Your punch is a punch. When you say, come out of him in the name of Jesus, it's not words that's going to make that devil come out. It's the Holy Spirit authority that is given to every born again believer that makes that devil go, I either got to get out of here or make them think I'm not here or make them think that they can't get me out. Amen? And so then there comes the game playing of deliverance. And we got to hear the Father. Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only pray or only say what I see my Father say or what I hear my Father saying. What is he saying? There's a place in Christ where you're so in tune to God that he says, now do this. Now do that. It's not always given to you in real strong words, right? Don't pretend to know when and if he can use you and how. One of our most never will forget deliverances, we won't use names. I was so in the flesh not wanting to do this deliverance because this person wanted to kill me. And the demon in this person had tried to kill me once before and we bound it and it couldn't. But now this person, through a demonic takeover, was literally plotting how to kill me and people and people in this church. Just really plotting. And it was, if this devil started talking through this person, that devil had a lot of demonic joy in telling you how he was going to do it, trying to scare you. And this person was a lot bigger than me. And I was like, oh man, Lord. I help. And so the Lord began to tell me how to do this. And he said, ask that person. And so let me tell you this. You're going to learn deliverance from me the way we're going to learn deliverance, all right? So I would take notes. I would listen to these teachings again and again. But you need the Holy Spirit to lead you. Because God may want you to do a deliverance way ahead of you thinking you could do that deliverance. Amen? But God wants to be in charge of the deliverance, not the devil. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.